Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Friday, April the 15th. And welcome to our commentary. This is, of course, Good Friday as we begin the Easter weekend. You know, you've got, of course, Good Friday, what we used to call Holy Saturday, and, of course, Easter Sunday. And I've got to tell you, whenever I, you know, experience Easter, and, of course, we do that once a year, I always have memories of my younger days. Because when I was growing up in Cuba, Easter was celebrated a little different. I think it was more traditional Spanish celebration. So whenever I think of Good Friday and Easter Sunday and what we used to call Holy Week, it just reminds me a lot of my days as a boy in Cuba. It was just a very interesting time to be in Cuba, as well as a lot of the other Spanish-speaking countries during what we used to call Holy Week. So anyway, happy Easter to you. And this is, of course, a big holiday for those of us in the Christian community. And enjoy yourself, and I hope your Easter Sunday celebration is a good one. It usually means going out to lunch or having lunch with family, or if you have little ones, you know, the different activities in the backyard and all of that. It's a lot of fun, and I hope you have a wonderful Easter weekend, Good Friday, Holy Saturday, and, of course, Easter Sunday. Well, I have a post over at the American Thinker talking about the number of Cubans who are showing up at the Mexico border. As you may have heard, that there are many Cubans seeking asylum who show up on the border. Now, as a Cuban myself who came here many years ago with my parents, I can certainly understand why, you know, people would want to leave Cuba and seek asylum in the United States. I wish they would do it a little bit different, because I think, unfortunately, what you're seeing in the border is very chaotic. And I don't know what kind of arrangement these Cubans are making with the people who bring them to the border. I've heard all kinds of different stories and all kinds of different arrangements. But one thing I'm pretty sure about, and that is that the Cuban government is behind this, meaning the Cuban government is trying to get rid of Cubans because of the economic situation in Cuba. They've done this before, by the way. They've done this many times before, whenever there's a lot of tension in Cuba, and there is right now. They figure out a way of getting Cubans out of Cuba. And I would not be surprised at all. I have no evidence, but I would not be surprised at all if the Cuban government is working directly with many of these criminal elements to bring people to the border. It is really, really terrible what is happening on the border. And this failure on the part of the Biden administration to straighten things out at the border is opening the door for countries like Cuba and some other countries to really encourage people to go to the United States. It's not good. It's not good. That's not really what asylum is all about. And I just think that the Biden administration is way off base in how they're treating the situation on the border. And I don't know what's going to happen to change. I don't know what kind of a message they need to have. But if you look, for example, at the polling data, I mean, if you're in the White House and you're a political person and you're talking to the president of the United States, I mean, it's pretty obvious that what you're doing is not working. I mean, he's at 38%. Two polls came out this week, 38%, 35%. It doesn't get any worse than that. When you're at numbers like 38 and 35, you're marginally functional as a president, because what that means is that any Democrat in a competitive election is going to run away from you. They're not going to be around. And you're seeing it, you know, the Democrat in Nevada, the Democrat in Arizona, the Democrat in Georgia, the Democrat in New Hampshire. These are four seats, very competitive seats, where the Democrats are going to have a very tough time keeping those seats. And these Democrats, they want nothing to do with Biden. Well, you see it right here in Texas. I mean, Beto O'Rourke, running for governor, wants nothing to do with Joe Biden. So when you're at numbers like that, 38, 35, you're nothing but a negative for your party. So you would think that, you know, after the people in the White House, the political you know, consultants in the White House, when they see numbers like this, you would think they go to the president and say, Mr. President, we got to do something. We got to change things because what we're doing is not working. Well, I don't know. I don't know. Either they're not telling him that or he's not listening to them. Whatever it is, whatever they're doing is not working. And anything, whether it's inflation, whether it's the border, whatever it is, it's not working. And the Democrats, I think more and more people are starting to realize that the Democrats are going to have a very difficult time in November and that Joe Biden is a real drag in the party. By the way, speaking of November, this is one of the most interesting stories that I have looked at. There are three districts on the U.S.-Mexico border, three congressional districts, who are currently in the hands of three Democrats. Now, one of the Democrats in one of those three districts is resigning his seat because he's going to pursue some other career. So that there's going to be a special election coming up here pretty soon for that seat. And all indications are that a Republican woman is going to win that seat. But the article that I saw over at the Texas Tribune indicates that all three seats could very well be won by a Republican Latina woman in November. So there could be three new Latinas in the House of Representatives this November from South Texas. And who would have believed that? You know, who would have believed that? Because for years we've been told that South Texas is solid Democrat, and historically it's been a very blue, if you will, very Democrat part of the state. But here in the last couple of years, with all the problems on the border, you've seen a total collapse of the Biden border policy and the Biden ideas, if you will, on South Texas, in South Texas, and you're seeing more and more Hispanics moving in the direction of the Republican Party, and to have three Latina women, win three congressional seats on the border, that would send a lot of Democrats to the psychiatrist. I don't know what else to say, but it's a great story, and I have a post about it tomorrow, and we're going to be updating this story between now and November, and I'm sure that when we get together again with our friend George Rodriguez, we're going to look at these three districts. One of the districts is represented right now by Henry Cuellar, and he's a Democrat, of course. And Henry Cuellar is currently in a runoff with a woke Democrat, and he'll probably win the runoff, but that's not for sure. But if he doesn't, then I think for sure the Republican lady in that district is going to win. But what an interesting turn of events in South Texas to have three Republican women potentially winning three districts on the border. That would be an earthquake, to say the least. And if you look at the websites and in my post, I have a link to their websites. If you look at their websites, all three have basically the same message. They are pro-police, they are pro-life, and they're against the madness that we're seeing on the border. Amazing, amazing. And that, I think, is the message that is right now selling in South Texas. Pro-police, pro-life, and put an end to the madness on the border. That's the message that is working in South Texas, and the message that is working for Republicans and not working, of course, for the Democrats down there. Well, one of the big stories, this is as amusing and as interesting as it is, and that is this whole situation with Elon Musk and Twitter. Now, some of you may be familiar with Elon Musk. He's the person who, he's the CEO of Tesla, you know, the electric car. Now, I'm not sure if he was the one who started Tesla or the one who marketed Tesla. I don't know for sure. But at the moment, he is the head of Tesla. And Elon Musk has decided to buy Twitter, and he's put an offer on the table to the board of directors of Twitter. The reason he wants to buy Twitter, and I trust him, I believe that he's sincere when he says this. The reason that he wants to buy Twitter is because he believes that Twitter is not exercising its responsibility to promote free speech. Look, I've been in Twitter. I was in Twitter for quite some time. I got as many as 1,800 followers at one point, but I simply dropped out. After what happened with Hunter Biden and the New York Post back in at the end of 2020, I said, this is not a serious organization. They're actually pushing a political agenda. I mean, when you say you're not going to publish or you're not going to allow people to talk about the New York Post article on Hunter Biden, what that says to me is that you've got a horse in the race. And your horse, of course, was Joe Biden. Well, that's fine. You can say that. But then if you say that, then don't pretend that you are a forum for political ideas. So Musk wants to change that, but he's run into a few problems with the board of directors. It's going to be interesting to watch because, as I understand it, and I'm not a shareholder of Twitter, I have no economic benefit one way or the other in this. I'm just a political observer who's enjoying this. If he makes an offer to the board of directors to buy Twitter, and that offer is a good offer, then the board of directors has to go to the shareholders and say, look, there's an offer. It's a good offer. Do you want to take it? And if the shareholders say, sure, it's a good offer, we'll take it, the board has to do it, as I understand. And if they don't do it, they're going to have all kinds of lawsuits. I've seen some of that already. So it's just fascinating, fascinating what Elon Musk is doing with Twitter. And again, I think his motivation is correct. I believe that Twitter walked away from free speech and went down the road of partial censorship and so on, which is a bad idea, which is a bad idea for an organization like Twitter or Facebook, who are based on the idea that they're an open forum for people to have ideas. You know, as I've said many times, I should be able to post. You should be able to post. If you don't like what I post, don't read it. Delete me, cancel me. But the organization shouldn't be doing it. Individuals should be doing it, not the organization, certainly not in one direction or another. So it's going to be fun to watch. I think this battle between Elon Musk and Twitter is going to be a lot of fun to watch, and I'm looking forward to it. It's just going to be a lot of fun to watch. Well, on this day in 1865, President Abraham Lincoln died. Of course, he had been shot the night before, as you all remember from your history. And they rushed him to there was like a house across the street, and they rushed him there. And he was in a room all night long, doctors treating him. And it was very difficult. I don't think they ever really had a chance to save his life because the bullet was right in his head. And so he passed away. He passed away about 7:30 in the morning. And that was the end of President Lincoln. Of course, Vice President Johnson became president. And I think you know the rest of the story. But Abraham Lincoln passed away on this day in 1865, which, by the way, coincidence, was also Good Friday. Thank you for listening. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas. Enjoy your Easter. And we'll see you after the Easter weekend. Bye-bye, everybody. Enjoy it. Easter is a lot of fun, especially if you have kids. Talk to you later.